я стесню чатку. Mean field generation. So we are still interested in weakly nonlinear solutions of dispersive equations. And do you remember in our diagram that from the water wave problem we were able to derive several asymptotic equations valid in certain regime? One was KdV, and the equivalent of KdV was in 2D. So this is for the 2D water wave problem. For the 3D water wave problem, it's what's called KP equation, Kadomsev-Pechavili equation. And these two asymptotic regimes are to be considered in the limit of long waves, small amplitude. Now this is a nonlinear dispersive equation, in the sense that we have defined dispersive equation very precisely. KdV is also a nonlinear dispersive equation. This one also. So once you have KdV, you may look for solution of small amplitude, and in particular linear solutions. Right? But since, as we explained before, linear, if you want to describe solution of KdV of small amplitude, linear approximation is not sufficient for long distance and long time. So a method to capture the cumulative nonlinear effect is to do the multiple scale analysis. To obtain the nonlinear Schrödinger equation as an envelope equation. And as an envelope of the monochromatic wave. Now, Now let's go back to the water wave problem. Again, you may be interested in weakly nonlinear solutions and try to capture the modification of linear solution due to this cumulative effect of nonlinear terms through again this multiple scale analysis. And the result is that you can again obtain the nonlinear Schrödinger equation as an envelope equation for the amplitude of linear solution of the water wave. Okay, so you have two ways. Of course, this is a little bit more restrictive because you have first done this long wave approximation. But you can obtain the nonlinear Schrödinger equation from the water wave problem in two ways. One is much more difficult than the other. This one is harder because of the complexity of the water wave problem. And you have the same picture for the 3D water wave problem. The 2D, the limiting equations for the long wave limit, small amplitude, is Kp. So if water wave is 3D dimension, which means the real dimension, the surface is an ocean, the surface of the water in an ocean, the resulting Kp is a 2D, it's an equation in a 2D space, right? While KdV is 1D space. Okay. And again, you may want to do a multiple scale analysis to capture the effect of nonlinear terms when they are small. The resulting equation is the equivalent of nonlinear Schrödinger equation that we obtain here, but in two dimensions, it is what is called the Davetti-Watson system. In some cases, this Davetti-Watson system reduces to a two-dimension nonlinear Schrödinger equation. But this is a coupled system of a nonlinear Schrödinger equation plus another equation for a coupled field, and the coupled field is this mean field that I'm going to explain today. But what is in plus another equation of various type? It could be on the elliptic or hyperbolic type. Now, the same way as that from the water wave you can get the 1D NLF, from the water wave through the multiple scale analysis you can get to the Davetti-Watson system. Okay? So today I would like to explain to you the passage from water waves, from the passage from KdV to NLF. So this is what I would like to do today. And also that one. So it will be the opportunity for us to study the case where it's not one-dimensional, it's been working one-dimensional always, and to see this new system, Davetti-Watson, which is the expansion, and also to touch a problem where the nonlinearity of the case, you know that the nonlinearity of KdV is quadratic, the same as water wave is also quadratic, and this adds another difficulty to this multiple scale analysis. So at the same time we will see different problems. To go from the water wave directly to here, you proceed exactly the same way, except that the technically, it's more complicated. So, it still goes through the monochromatic wave, which is modulated on slow time and slow distance and large distances. Exactly conceptually, it's exactly the same. Okay, so I will start with the. The weakly nonlinear regime. Nonlinear regime form the KdV equation. All right. Yes? The NLS that we derived last time, we derived it. From the KD, from the Klein-Gordon, for example, it's a 1D equation. It has cubic nonlinearity. This will be also cubic nonlinearity. Now, I should have added that if you start from general formalism that I presented yesterday with the general dispersive wave operator, is not limited to a 1D problem. If you start from the Klein-Gordon in 3D, and you're looking again for weakly nonlinear solutions, then you can deduce a nonlinear Schrödinger equation from this equation, and this nonlinear Schrödinger equation will be of higher dimension. So if it is 3, it will be 2. But maybe through this example we will see a situation like this. So I'll start from the
So I put some coefficients, yes. I put the coefficient lambda. It doesn't matter if you put a coefficient, you can always get rid of this coefficient. All right, so this is a KdV equation. What is the dispersion relation? Now we are quite familiar with that already. We consider the linear equation. And we look for solution in the form e to the power akx minus omega t. And when you replace into the original equation, you get a relation, such a function is a solution if minus I omega t plus lambda I k to the power 3 equals 0. So if omega and k are related by this relation, which is omega of k equals minus lambda k 3. And this is a dispersive wave because omega prime is not constant, it's equal to minus 3. Right, so now we are quite familiar with the procedure, and so I'm going to introduce to look for a solution u in the small, so it's epsilon in the form of epsilon u1 plus etc. We're going to introduce these slow variables x equal epsilon x and t equal epsilon t. And to vary a little bit the presentation, I'm not going to introduce terms. So this is maybe a little bit more natural. We discussed that yesterday and last week. There are various ways to do it. They're all equivalent. But I'm going to introduce only these two slow variables, and when time comes, we'll introduce more. Okay? So it does not follow exactly the same presentation, the same setting. It is very close. So it's an opportunity to see a little bit different things. Okay, and now we need to write the, so what is the equation? So the linear operator dt plus lambda. This is the linear operator, and we're going to expand it. Okay. So dt plus lambda. Well, we're going to write it as before. Let's do it. Dt plus lambda d3 plus epsilon d dt. So what do we have here? We have 3 lambda and the epsilon 2 will be 3 lambda Alright, so let's start. We will have the first equation, order of epsilon. We're quite familiar with this calculation, so we can do a little bit faster. So the first equation, of course, at lowest order, we always get back to the to our usual linearized equation. All right, which gives rise to the solution u0 equals exponential I kx minus omega t
omega and k related by this relation, multiplied by your constant. So I'm going to change a little bit the notation. I'm going to call the constant psi 0 plus complex conjugate. And again here, the amplitude will be a function of this slow variable. Right? So this is a classical thing. Now let's move to the next order. So the next order, what do we get? Well, again, the linear operator applied to the next term in the expansion equals. So what will we have on the other side? We will have the contribution of the linear operator at the at the next order applied to the zero. So what is it? Minus dvt plus 3 lambda this applied to u zero. Now the nonlinearity is quadratic, so if you want you can write it like this, dx of u square ddx of u square. So at the next order it will now it's going to appear immediately, and at the lowest order is dx u square. You agree with me? Okay, so u at lowest order is over the epsilon, so it appears when you have the square, it's already epsilon square. So this is the equation satisfied by u1. And to, again, we're going to eliminate the secular term by imposing that all the factors of exponential I k x minus omega t are eliminated. Okay? So we're going to compute, so the right hand side, we're going to compute in the right hand side the terms that lead to something multiplied by I k x minus omega t. Okay? Because this term will be solution of the linear problem and may lead to solution that becomes large. So what are the questions? So let's compute the right hand side. What is the right hand side? So right-hand side of, so this was equation one. What is the right-hand side of two? Does it bother you, this noise? What is the right hand side? Well, u0 is given up there, so d capital T acts on psi0. This term acts on, the big letters act on psi0, the small letters act on the exponential, and there will be the complex conjugate. And now here we have u0 square, so we have to cancel. So let me write here dt psi0 3 lambda, we have ik, d0x, and the coefficient here ik square, so I change all the signs. Am I correct?
Minus.
Thank you. Yes, you're right. I should put a minus. Right? This is what you mean? Now, what about U0 square? Well, U0 square, it's phi 0 exponential I kx minus omega t plus phi 0 bar exponential minus I kx omega t. It has no term in powers of exponential I k, right? So this is all. That's all for the coefficient of exponential I k x. It's plus, if I write everything, I should write indeed everything. What do I have? I have C0 square. Plus, what else? C0 2 C0 square. Write things a little bit better. Plus ddx of u square, right? I have to write it because it will be important. Plus the complex conjugate, plus 2 plus 2 psi 0, right? Complex conjugate of that part. Yes, plus complex conjugate of this. So ddx, and so you remember this psi 0 does not depend on x. So I don't need to write it here. I will just write square. Okay. And it is understood that each time we write something, we have to write down the complex function. So if we want, later we will write this as C0 square, does not depend on the first variable, 2i k exponential I, 2i kx minus omega. Okay. So elimination of the circular term implies that this coefficient in parentheses is 0. Oh, thank you. Minus and... Well, this is the usual relation that says that C0 moves with the group velocity. As you see, this is exactly the omega prime, the derivative of the frequency respect to k. So this is the usual equation. I don't know how to get rid of that noise. I think I move too much. Okay. Next order. Next order, dt plus V to U. All right, what will we have on the other side? So epsilon, the next order, right? So we will have the same term as here, but applied to U1, since U1 is the next order in this. So we have mass. Dx, U1.
Minus.
What else? Well, the linear operator has a term of order epsilon squared. So if I want the order of epsilon 3, I have to apply that to U0. So minus 3 lambda dx dx squared U0. And now, what comes from the nonlinear term? What does come from the nonlinear term? The nonlinear term is 1 half dx u squared. So there is one term that is minus 1 half the capital X u squared. And the other one, so you... are you with me? U squared is epsilon squared U0 plus epsilon U1 squared. And we apply dx plus epsilon dx, one half of this, to this. So dx U squared. I don't know if I should write that, or you are comfortable with the extension. Right? And I'm at present, I'm looking for order 3, exponential 3, epsilon 3. So epsilon 3, I have this epsilon, epsilon squared, this is applied to U0 when we take the big variable, and we have another one. When I apply the dx, the small x, to the cross product. So here comes d little x, u0, u1. Okay, you agree? We agree? So if you allow me, I will erase this line and examine the right-hand side. Well, what do we have on the right-hand side? We have... you have U0, that for which we have already a solution. We have U1. So I need to calculate U1 to be able to know what is right hand side. You know, yesterday and the week before, U1 was zero. But now I have to calculate. So I have to go back to the equation for U1. I have eliminated a number of terms, but there are some that are that remain. So I have to solve the U1. So what is the equation again for U1? Equals. So I have eliminated this. So remain ik. And I think it has a minus. Well, how do we solve U1? It will have it will be of the form exponential 2i kx minus omega t. And we have to calculate, multiplied by a certain constant with respect to the lowest, to the small variable, to be adjusted to satisfy the equation. So if you replace this u1 into the left hand side, you will get b factor multiplied minus 2i omega plus 3 lambda k, 3 lambda i 2i k q, right? Equal minus I k c square. So this gives you b. And the b that you find is, it gives you b in the form 1 over 6 lambda k square. Yeah, this is the L0 operator. There was a 1 half. Is a 1 half here. When you differentiate here, there's a 2. So it disappears. Okay. So this B here, I'm going to write 1 over 6 lambda t squared. Okay, plus what? Plus element of the kernel, plus this coefficient a priori arbitrary. C0. This coefficient. So here we are for the moment. Not finished. So here is U1. So let's see what we have now on the right hand side. I would like, so this equation 3, and I would like to calculate the right hand side of 3. Okay, so the beginning is just the usual thing. It's minus d dt plus 3 lambda dx dx squared applied to u1. So U1 has two terms. So I'm going to apply this to C1. Right? And I will also apply it to the other term. I wrote this one because it will be a secular term, but if I write everything, I should write the other. C0 is a function of capital X and T. We have here the 6 lambda k squared, 6 lambda exponential 2i
after the complex conjugate. Minus, well, 3 lambda. So I'm going to differentiate Q0. Dx C0. Is that correct? And I could compute more precisely, but I will do it for the next slide. So you see, each time we have the derivative with a fast variable that acts on the exponential only, they give coefficients. And the big letters act on the amplitude. But we'll do that later. Plus minus 1/2 dx. So what is u square? Well, with u square, we had it here. U square had the exponential double angle, plus a constant term. So here we are. We have this term. This is a constant term in x, y. Plus a complex conjugate. This is the end of this. Minus dx u0. C1. No, I don't need to write everything, but let me write for the moment. I write it anyway. It's a purpose. You don't need to write the solvability condition. You don't need to write all the terms. But just for once, we see all the terms. 2i plus c1 exponential I kx minus omega t plus complex conjugate. This is the right-hand side. So what kind of term does it have? It has terms in the form exponential I 2i kx minus omega t. This will be easy to solve just by variation of constant. It has terms in the form exponential I kx minus omega t. This will give us the solvability condition. But if you look carefully, you see that there is one term that we did not experiment before. This is a term constant in the slow, is a fast variable. So the constant term in the small, in the fast variable, x. All right, where are the secular terms here? Well, there are these ones, of course. But what do you think of this one? Is it a dangerous term or it's a good term? Well, this is a dangerous term. Because this constant in xt is a solution of the linear problem. So it belongs to the kernel. So I should eliminate it. But the problem is that if I eliminate it, so let me continue the argument here, and we will see we end up with a problem. This one. Remark that the constant term, which is dx,
I say constant, it's not constant in the slow variable, it's constant in the fast variable. Is a circular term. If it is eliminated, it means that C0 does not depend on, if we eliminate, means that C0 does not depend on capital X, but if it does not depend on capital X, it doesn't depend on capital C. So we have a problem. So the way to remedy this problem is to allow, so there is a problem with this secular term. So the way to remedy this problem is to allow a constant term in U1. Which is all sometimes called the mean field. So you see, when you solve for U1, we put a term in the kernel, but we should put also a term that belongs to the kernel, and to leave us some freedom to adjust this mean field function to eliminate all this. So, this is a difficulty that you encounter when you work with quadratic nonlinearity. If I add this C1 here, well, I will have to add this here. But of course, C doesn't count because it depends only on the slow variable. And, it counts. No, it counts. And what else? I have to add it here. All right. So this is. Okay. So now we have another degree of freedom. We have the choice on this phi one. This choice of this. C1 will allow me to eliminate the constant term as well as the oscillatory term. Okay. So the remedy was to introduce, to modify, to add to U1. So U1, you see, U1 is a subdominant term. The second term in the expansion. So you have to, the idea is that you modify the subdominant term to obtain a solvability condition that will give you the evolution of the amplitude at the lowest order, this C0. All right. So now I'm going to eliminate the secular term. Sorry? Well, once you have the amplitude that does not depend on this slow variable, you have not done what you want. The purpose is to see how this linear solution, exponential, has to be modified in this slow variable. So you don't get anything. So you get there. Yeah, the trivial linear solution, and you are back to the problem. So eliminate constant secular term. So now, where are my secular terms that are constant? Well, this is this one that was giving me problems. This one too. So I have the first equation is dt phi 1 plus, just to be sure of the sum, minus 1 minus x, well, the term that was making the problem c0 equals 0. So you see, this is a coupling. So minus dt p1 minus, oh, sorry, 2 minus.
Where is the last term?
On the lowest line. Well, look, I have dx in front of this. Do I have constant term? I think I don't have constant term. Alright, so this eliminates the constant specular term. This is, so it is interesting to see this coupling between the amplitude, which is a dominant term, to the lower order term. And now I still also have to eliminate the oscillatory term and the usual one that are proportional to ikx minus omega c. And let's do that. So let's see where they are. Well, there's also this one, that is minus dt minus dt plus. So now I'm going to apply this small x acts on the exponential, so I will immediately put this k. This is the x square comes on the second derivative comes on the small x and the big x. Lambda d e x. Here you recover the same term as we had on c0. This has to be applied to c0, to c1. Right. Now what else do we have? Where are the other terms? Well, we have one here. So it's minus c lambda ik and two derivatives on c. So let me write that first. Minus c I k lambda, two derivatives in c zero. What else? Well, we have this nonlinear term. Well, everybody sees how the parenthesis enters. This is ddx of the whole thing, then. Ddx of this product. So where do we have exponential I k x omega t? It's when the complex conjugate that gives you a minus multiplies by this one. Right, this is one term. What is this? It's I k 6 lambda k square c 0 square. And what else? Well, we have a coupling here. When C1 multiplies psi 0, and the dx are from there. So dx is minus ik, C0, C. And all this must be 0. So we have obtained here these two probability conditions. We're going to play with them. Oh, okay. Where is the button?
No, it's not. It's
combination of the two cross terms. Okay. All right. So we have these two yellow equations, and we have the other one, the relation for C0 to. We're going to combine all this together.
So here,
you know, I respond to your question yesterday, Alex. I'm going to introduce this psi zero. I'm going to introduce a new psi, which is psi zero plus epsilon psi one. I don't know if it will answer your question. And I'm going to combine equation. So you know this equation for psi zero, I'm going to call it A. Okay? A is that equation. This will be B and this will be C. So B I don't touch. C I don't touch. Well, I'll touch later. Let me combine, let's do A plus epsilon B. Let's combine A plus epsilon B. Okay? I'm going to change the sign. It will allow me to change the sign so I have the same sign as above. So d dt sine epsilon, so I multiply by epsilon the second equation, I have an epsilon. Dxxt 0 Now this this relation was written as a solvability condition expressed for an equation at order epsilon 3. Right? A solvability condition related to the equation of order epsilon 3 for U2. So this is also at the same order, written at the same order, epsilon 3. So it does not change anything. Or it changes things just at the next order. If instead of writing 0 here, I write 2. If I replace in this parenthesis, which is factor of epsilon, I replace psi 0 by psi 0 plus epsilon psi 1, this adds term of epsilon squared that were neglected in the established that elimination of secular terms. So what I'm claiming is that first I can erase this C and put consistent with the approximation of my expansion. The second thing is that if I go back, let me look at C again. Where is C? I'm going to rewrite C here. Dt C phi 1 This is a relation between C 1, which is correction to U1, to the second order term in the expansion, and C0, which is the first to the first order. So here again, if I replace C0 by psi, it is consistent with the order of my expansion. I made the wrong sign? The plus. Thank you.
All right. Now, I would like to, what the next purpose is to, you see, we have this equation here that looks like a non-linear Schrodinger equation. You see the second derivative here, this I, you put it on the other side, the cubic linearity, but you see the coupling. So I want to eliminate the coupling. I want to solve C1, I want to solve C1 in terms of C at the order of the expansion. Come back to C. You know what? Before I do this, before I replace C by C0, before I replace C0 by C, just the same thing, let me go back to this equation here. Can do it in either order, but maybe it's a little bit more clear. Now, what is C0? C0 satisfies the relation that its derivative, that it follows trajectories with group velocity omega prime k. Now, this equation was obtained at order, which order was it? Epsilon square, right? Epsilon square. So dt square is equal to, otherwise, nothing. Take equation A and multiply it by C0 bar, take the real part. What do you get? You get ddt plus omega prime well, it's not exactly zero, it is zero, but you have to remember that it was done at order epsilon squared. So the purpose here is to replace the dbx by, so we see that this equation can be rewritten, C1 minus essentially, I'm computing the mean field, C1, in terms of C0. And since I'm looking for non-trivial dependency, this will force C1 to be, I choose C1 to be 1 over omega omega prime, C0. So what is important is to understand when we write equalities, the equalities at the order of the computation we are doing. So if we want
Again, if C1 is 1 over omega times C0, at the order of the expansion, I can replace C0 by C1. Because this C1, where does it occur? It occurs here, inside the parenthesis where you have an epsilon. Alright, so where is my equation now? This equation that is B prime becomes BTC plus omega prime of K DS psi plus I epsilon, plus I epsilon. So 3k Cxx plus, now you combine these two terms. This is a 1 over 6 lambda k, and this one is, you remember what is omega prime? Omega prime was 3 lambda k. So this is, so here you are left with one over six lambda k. I have to check that sign. So this term combines this cubic nominality and this other cubic nominality. Okay, and now we make the change of variable. We replace xt, now remember this flow variable we introduced in the beginning, by two other variables. Well, one is the usual one to eliminate this linear term. So c is x minus omega prime of kt. And the other one is what? Well, once you have replaced, you have chosen c like this, this is the time derivative, this is following the trajectory. But you have an epsilon here, so you eliminate the epsilon, and tau equals epsilon. You see, you recover the old change of variables. A little bit more systematic way, maybe a little bit more delicate, because you have to see at each order what you're doing, unlike the other one where I was doing automatically. So here are the change of variables, and the resulting equation becomes, so you've seen that already several times. The B prime becomes D tau psi plus what? So what is 3k? This is a lambda meter, eh? You want to put a lambda here? Must be a lambda. Yeah, we see the second line in the upper blackboard. 3 lambda, the x small, two big letters, two derivatives on the big letter, it's a lambda. So how do you recognize this? 3 lambda k, well, it's omega double prime. And divided by and here last time I must be careful with the mic. I rewrite the way we are used to see it already a number of times. So again, you see the nonlinear Schrödinger equation as an amplitude equation for the approximation of the KD. Did we erase? I think we erased the original formula. But what was the conclusion? What did we obtain with all this work? We started from the KDD. We looked for a solution U in the form epsilon U0 plus epsilon U1 plus etc. plus epsilon 2. And we obtain U0 in the form C exponential I K X minus omega C. So C again is C0 plus epsilon C1, I put them together, plus complex quantity. We obtain U1, or maybe I should even be more specific. I can rewrite it like this, equal epsilon psi plus complex quantity plus epsilon. So here I have taken into account the three ones, so I have epsilon where is this here? If I stop here, plus with an epsilon in front, phi. And what is phi? Well, phi we have calculated here. So this is what I have calculated, plus order of epsilon square. Right? And in this formula, psi appears as psi is a function of psi is a function of psi and tau, where psi is epsilon x minus omega sine t, tau is epsilon 2t, and psi satisfies the nonlinear Schrödinger equation I psi d tau psi. This is the conclusion of this analysis. Conclusion of this analysis that we have approximated the solution of the KDD equation in the approximation where we're looking for small solutions, amplitude epsilon, small solution, indeed small solution, but the amplitude is non-trivial at all. It satisfies a Schrödinger equation, an envelope equation, in this slow variable. And when is this calculation valid? Well, it is valid up to time, up to the order of expansion, which means up to time t, of order 1 over epsilon squared. Because if you want to go to higher order, to longer time, well, you must take, that in larger time scale. So this is a valid approximation in long time of order 1 over epsilon squared. Well, of course, it is not mathematically proved. It is a systematic derivation. But in this context of this formal calculation, the validity of order 1 over epsilon. Now, there is a lot of work has been done to validate this derivation. And there are many references that we could
Would require some additional assumptions.
Or your initial condition. Yeah. This is just done in the free. So in particular, a precise evaluation of the error between the solution of the NLS, or between a solution constructed like this and the exact solution of KDD, was done in a paper by Milke and Schneider. That was really recent, in the late 90s. I don't know if it's 98, 99. Can find the exact reference. The passage from KDV to NLS. So the justification of the approximation by a solution written like that to KDV. That was done by them in a very precise way. The passage from the water wave problem to the NLS in a weaker way, weaker than Milke, but more difficult because we start with the water wave problem, was done by Walter Craig and myself in 92 and then 97 for the three-dimensional problem. Okay? So this gives a derivation of the NLS from the KDV. And next week, so first of all, next week, Monday, I will not be able to come. So Monday, 6th of October, it is canceled. We will try to find time to recover these classes. But Tuesday, I will do the KP and the W.T. Watson equation, continuation of the chapter. All right? Thank you. And I've asked Alexa to make copies of my notes up to here, so it is about already 30 pages or so, and I will bring 37 pages, so I will bring them to you next week.